Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of season 2 of the Roundtable, our first ever audio-only one just for iTunes and our website. I say just for iTunes, but I forget we actually put them on our website. So we just got back from Texas, heading to Bristol. What's been going on, guys?
Well, Texas was good. You know, obviously, anytime we return to Texas, it's the home base for WRL, which is the parent company for Labine Family Racing and where the company, the race team started. So a lot of friends, a lot of family. It's always a homecoming of sorts. First time for me at Texas Motor Speedway. I've been in the sport for 20 years, and I got off the road before the track was active. So to actually go there and see it in person and experience, it's a beautiful track, a lot of fun. And
saw a big hoss for the first time.
And it is massive. So, yeah, it was a great weekend. Had a good time and enjoyed the race. The weather was great. It was overcast, but it wasn't hot. It didn't rain. So, all in all, a great weekend. And we finished higher than we started the race. So, had some thriving guests. They were happy. And at the end of the day, we got to come home late, but we got to get home. So
got to watch Augusta on from our own houses versus the road, which is nice. It was a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm. Back to the rain. I mean, thankfully, as of Monday last week, it was supposed to rain all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday. And thankfully, it just pushed and pushed, and then we didn't have any. But
yeah, we lucked out.
Boy, that had me just on edge, you know, as far as trying to figure out, okay, do I need to go ahead and book the hotel rooms for Saturday night and Sunday night? Because it wasn't supposed to let up till like Tuesday, I think.
And when it rains there, it rains.
Oh, yeah. It's not just
that from being from there. But, yeah. I mean, I remember it was last year we were there and watching it from the condo. That rain poured through and watching the tents and tarps and bags and people and everything blow across the track is crazy.
For those who don't know, I mean, most of the teams take charter flights to and from the racetracks. They don't fly commercial. And so we share plane with a lot of the other teams. And that's a great advantage in terms of convenience and getting on the plane and getting off and going to the racetrack. But it also can be an inconvenience if the team that wins the race actually is on your flight home. And in this case, it was that case. The Hendrick guys won the race, and they were on our plane. And it wasn't too long of a wait, actually.
It could have been a lot worse. Yeah. We've been worse. We were on, was it Watkins Glen?
Yeah. I was going to say, well, it's not like the 48 team doesn't have practice at winning.
It's true. They know how to break down and tear down and celebrate quickly and do the hat dance pretty quick. Watkins Glen was a unique one last year where you say about waiting. What did we crash? 40 laps in?
Yeah, I want to say it's 40, something like that.
We were at
like
the airport 2 hours before we watched
the 2 hours,
before the end of the race.
Because they were on the red flag.
And they had another 2.5 hours plus victory lane celebration from AJ and the guys over at JTG. So that was a long wait at the airport. And the rental guys took our car before we were sitting in the car, mm-hmm. and they took it away before they forced to get on the plane. So
well, it was interesting too watching the Hendrick guys come on because they were all wearing cowboy hats.
Yeah,
you know, so you knew that they were the race winners.
Right.
And getting off the plane at 4 a.m. in the pitch black dark.
See the silhouettes of the hats.
Yeah, see the silhouettes of the hats. It was pretty cool. But Texas was great, and I look forward to going back there later this year. Now that I've kind of got my.
All right. So you knocked Texas. What other races do you have? What other tracks have you not been to?
We were just talking about that. Coming up in the next couple weeks, I haven't been to Kansas yet. So
okay, cross that one off.
Yeah, all the other ones I've been to. I've not been to Sonoma, so that'll be later this year as well.
You hadn't been to Vegas earlier
this
year.
I had not been to Vegas. Okay. And Vegas was an experience. I think...
You've not been to Las Vegas at all?
No, never.
Ever, not even the racetrack, just the strip.
Yeah, just a fan. No.
Okay.
So I got to kill two birds with one stone, got to go to Vegas and to the racetrack. Track is beautiful. It's right next to Nellis Air Force Base, so we sat there all day long watching these beautiful jets take off. And
that was cool.
That's pretty cool. And the mountains surrounding the track is beautiful. And then, obviously, the strip is something that everybody has to experience. It's like Disneyland for adults. It's very disorienting, though. The one thing I did learn pretty quickly was, in the casino, we stayed at the Monte Carlo Resort, there are no windows, so you don't know whether it's day or night.
No clocks.
There are no clocks.
And fresh air.
And there's... You have no sense of time. And because people are doing things at 8 in the morning that you would normally associate with them doing 11 o'clock at night, you don't know what day. You don't know
you're eating breakfast. You're eating breakfast. You're seeing someone drinking a Hurricane or drinking a beer, and you're like, wait, is it 8 o'clock at night or is it 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it's very disorienting.
I also find the Strip, I mean, I don't mind going to Vegas. I think it's a great spot. It's a great place to stop in the circuit, and I think the sport does a good job going there, and the sport does a good job of taking over the city for the weekend. But to me, you start walking down the Strip, and you don't realize how far the buildings are because there's nothing around you. It's all flat, and the buildings are 75 stories tall. You don't realize they're a mile away from you. Yeah. Like, oh, I can walk there.
I'm just going to hike down to the
30 area. Minutes later, you're like, wait, yeah. I'm still not even halfway there yet. I think the Strip's like, you know, 5-6 miles long. You don't realize how long it is from just looking at the buildings because it's compact like a city, pretty tight quarters. But it's a fun spot.
Yeah, that was fun. Atlanta was not so fun the week before.
No.
It was cold rainy and miserable.
Michael was quote-unquote sick that weekend, but I'm not sure. No. But
yeah. I'd have rather been cold
in Atlanta. We were sick the week after from being outside Atlanta.
I'd rather been in Atlanta than down with the flu like it's I true. Had. That was miserable.
We got to see Supercross that weekend.
See Supercross. That was fun. Atlanta in general was... We got to watch the Ronda Rousey fight.
Yeah.
And all 14 seconds of it.
Yeah. In and out pretty quick.
It took longer to drink the beer that we had than it did the actual fight.
It did indeed.
But it was, so it's been an interesting couple weeks. We've had a couple weeks off now. And I think when we went to Texas, we were all kind of, looking forward to getting back out to the track and getting back at it. And
we're back at it now.
So I guess headed to Bristol this weekend. The weather looks better now for Friday. It looked initially like it was going to rain on qualifying day, which would not be good for us. But it looks like it's cleared up enough that hopefully we'll get qualifying in. And then with the track having lights and past history, they'll wait a long time to get that race in because it's a day race, and so we can race well into the evening. So
we did that last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did.
We saw hail and sleet come down at the mysterious caution at the end of that race, right?
Caution comes out for nothing, and they start to go green.
Finger on the caution button.
Yeah, or butt.
It'll be fun. I think, going back to Don's comment about qualifying, the reason why it's important for us to qualify versus to get rained out is basically, I don't know if a lot of people understand the rules, but the teams with the least amount of attempts are the ones that go home. And unfortunately, if qualifying's rained out, the teams with the least amount of attempts go home. And since we're a full-time/part-time team with only 4 attempts, we will be one of those 2 cars that will go home. And it's not based on points, where we're 41st in the points, but attempts are what set the attempts set the number of cars that go or make it, and then the points set the field. Is the way it works.
Yeah, there are 45
based on practice speed, right?
Practice speed sets the order,
right?
But not who gets in. Could be fastest in practice, right. But and if qualifying's rained out, we go.
Yeah, so there are 45 cars for 43 spots.
So we want sun and no rain, and it looks like the weather now. I looked at it recently; it looks like it's going to be sunny and no rain. But to Don's point, Sunday looks like it could be a washout. As does Monday.
and most of Tuesday.
And so. NASCAR, I think there's only one open weekend left. There's only 2 during the season.
No, there's 3. It's the last. It's the weekend right before we start the chase. I think is the one they added. We now have an off weekend going into the
Mother's
chase.
Day weekend.
We race Kansas.
Right.
Mother's Day weekend. We don't race Sunday. We race Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah. So we're back Mother's Day. They don't never race on Easter Sunday. Never race on Mother's Day.
So yeah, we'll
hope cross your fingers and hope for the best, and
we had a good run there last year. It was actually the first race for Thrivent. That was the first, not the spring race, but the fall race. But Bristol was the first event where they were on the car. So we had a very good run, and
it's a homecoming of sorts for Thrivent to go back to Bristol, which is nice.
We're looking forward to going back there and seeing if we can duplicate our success.
We were running well there in April too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wally's got a good track record there, so it's always nice to go back. He feels comfortable there. And Michael likes racing there, and I think the combination of the two of them with the guys working on the car and what we got going on, it should be a good weekend.
And outside of the super speedways, that it's one of those tracks that, because you're only running 15-second laps, it's one of the only racetracks where you can have an accident behind you and still be involved in it because you're coming around the track so quick and the cars are stacking up. You can get caught in something that's behind you. And so, the whole key to Bristol is keeping the fenders on the race car and having a great spotter, and we have a great spotter. So hopefully we can stay out of trouble and get a good clean finish. We set some goals at the beginning of the year One was to make every race that we attempted to qualify, and we've done that thus far, 4 for 4. And the second one was to finish every race, and we've done that as well. So all in all, it's been a very good year, and hopefully we can continue that trend.
Have you been every racetrack, Michael?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Dover, which is not on our list.
Correct.
I have not been to New Hampshire, which is not on our list.
Yep.
Kentucky will be my first time. We are going there.
Okay.
I think... Oh, and Darlington. I haven't been to Darlington. Other than that, I've hit the list.
I've not been to Chicago either, so that's going
to
be...
Yeah, the only one I've not been to is Kentucky.
I actually got to race Chicago when I was running ARCA, and that is such a fun track, just because it's old, rough...
Hardly Chicago, by the way.
No, it's not even close.
I mean, they call Chicagoland about an hour away. I mean, it's like saying that...
I mean, I'm looking forward to going to Kansas.
Connecticut's New York.
I'm looking forward to going to Kansas. We're actually staying at a really nice hotel there. It's the AC Hotels by Marriott. We've done a deal with that hotel. It's brand new, just opened in March. We're actually going to have a breakfast. Michael's going to entertain some guests there and some of the fans. And so if you're planning to attend the Kansas event and you're a fan of the 95 team, then look up AC Hotels by Marriott. It's a brand new hotel. They actually have a package deal where you can get breakfast with Michael, autographed hero cards, and a room discount. So it's a good opportunity to show your support for the team and spend some time with Michael at breakfast and have a great weekend at a beautiful hotel.
So. Yeah, so to give a little more info on where to find that, they're actually running part of that promotion on Facebook. So if you find AC Hotels by Marriott on Facebook, you can actually, they have a link that's clickable there to a VIP package that you were talking about that includes everything in that. So that's kind of easy way to find it, is just to find their page on Facebook, like it, and then go through that link.
And we'll have a special paint scheme for that race. We'll be part of a larger program that will be more to come in the near future, but look for a special paint scheme there. And we'll also have a working on the final touches for our paint schemes for the Charlotte Race Weeks, for the All-Star Showdown, as well as the 600, and hopefully All-Star Race, if everyone gets out there and make votes for Michael to get into the All-Star Race. It gives us two chances to get in. One is to race our way in, and one is for our fans to vote us in.
Yeah,
so we're doing our part to try and get them in.
How do they do that?
Oh, man.
It's sprintfanvote.nascar.com. You can vote once every 24 hours.
Put me in a spot, huh, Don?
And if you share it on social, it actually counts as two votes.
Yeah,
so
Twitter or Facebook.
Yep, again, so that's sprintfanvote.nascar.com. You can vote every day, once every 24 hours, and share it on social media.
Yeah, and also our partners at Thrivent just recently launched Thrivent Racing. So they've come up with a Thrivent Racing logo, Thrivent Racing Facebook page, doing a lot of
all social media channels.
All the social media channels. So if you haven't done so yet, look up Thrivent Racing and like that page, and you'll get to see some really unique content on there available only to fans.
If they achieve their goals of followers, you will see the LFR guys and team doing 950 push-ups combined from the Texas weekend, and we had to kind of add a few on to the Monday. So, but it's a lot of good stuff. It's great to have a partner like Thrivent pushing and supporting the team. It's also great for the sport to have a sponsor like Thrivent who's pushing a racing specific message,
mm-hmm,
and social media channels and microsites to come. And so it's really great to see a partner and a sponsor in the sport like Thrivent really supporting their overall partnership and not just kind of putting stickers on the bumpers.
Yeah, and you know, to that end, I think for people who don't know, Thrivent is a financial services company that caters to the Christian community, but it helps people live generously and be wise with money and investments and giving back to their community. And they're a Fortune 300 company. They're a very large company, and you know, Michael McDowell is a member, and many of the members of our team are members. So it's a great organization, and if you don't know and interested in learning more, please visit thrivent.com and learn more about who they are and what they do, and if it's something that might be interesting for your family.
Yeah, I say they've been an awesome partner of ours, and like you were talking about, Jeremy, the involvement and investment. I mean, they're starting up the Thrivent Racing social channels. They've made merchandise. They've made diecasts, which, incidentally, this is Wednesday. Friday, our new store will be up and running on our website. It'll be store.lfr95.com. You'll be able to go there to get all your Thrivent racing gear, Thrivent diecast, LFR gear, hats, stickers, USB drives. I mean, we kind of have a pretty good assortment coming to our store. So that'll be, we're excited to kind of kick that off and get that rolling as we head into the Bristol weekend.
Yeah, we'll have the 164s and the 124 diecast on their pre-sale.
Yep.
So that'll be great for our fans and Thrivent members and race fans as well. So check it out, like Michael said, and you will. If you have any ideas and things you want to see on there, just let us know, and we'll see if we can get it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about all this is it's really a sign of the evolution of the organization as a whole. You know, as a team, the performance is getting better. We have a really good foundation. We have good solid partners, and now, you know, we're starting to see the growth in terms of merchandising and social media presence and a lot of the other things that are going on that are not only good for the team but good for the fans, and you know, really helps elevate LFR. You know, as Jeremy mentioned earlier, we may be have a part-time schedule, but we are a full-time organization, and it doesn't matter if we're at the racetrack or we're at the shop, we're all very busy, and our goal is to eventually be a full-time, full race schedule team. But obviously that requires additional partners like Thrivent Financial and like K-Love and people who are willing to come grow with us. So we're excited about where we are. You know, if you look at last year and you look at where we are now this year, it's 100% different in terms of just the overall team and where we are as an organization. So I know we're all excited about that.
Absolutely. I mean, we're so busy. Jeremy's over here highlighting things while we're recording the podcast. So
multitasking.
Multitasking, yeah.
Well, I also think about next week's Trick Shot Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, if anybody has ideas or things they want to see Jeremy try to pull off on the Trick Shot Tuesday, let us know on our social media channels. We're on Twitter at LevineFamily95, on Facebook, Levine Family Racing, Instagram at LevineFamily95, and YouTube. So, you know, find us on one of those, and if you're not on any of those, we'll figure out a way to talk to you. I
mean, you should be.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, that's a good way to keep up with what's going on. Our Facebook page is, you know, just kind of the general content. We try to push everything towards there. Please follow along on Twitter during the race weekends especially. We try to give a lot of competition updates and things like that. And Instagram's kind of become our behind the scenes. And YouTube, we're going to be doing a lot of, I think, more fun stuff as far as Trick Shot Tuesday and things of that nature. So just trying to have fun with what we do. So unless y'all have kind of anything else, we'll wrap up here.
I'm good.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week for another episode.
Take care.
Thank you much.